Welcome to the next episode of Ordinary Christians with Ron and Bob and Derek. And we are glad that you are with us. And we're going to have a nice little chat around something that's taking place in culture. There's obviously there's been a human sexuality explosion of confusion. And how do we handle the brokenness of human sexuality in our world, in particular school systems? This is a new reality we're in. And we have a conversation about what should the boundaries be in a private school, a Christian school, for example, and human sexuality. And what about the boundaries in a public school? What should we expect in a public school system? And I'm going to play host today in this. And so any opening statements from Derek or Ron about how should our school systems approach this ever expanding and confusing world of human sexuality in the school system?
Well, I'll say one thing, and that is that I want to hear from Ron. I think that Ron gives us a helpful perspective, because Ron, all your kids go to public school. And so I think it's important for us to talk about this in two different ways. So one is, I think for all ordinary Christians that send their kids to public schools, what you can expect and what you should do, knowing that that's the case. And two, I think that we should talk to parents that send their kids to Christian schools and how you should think and operate and live in that sort of system and what kinds of expectations you should have for your Christian school. I'd love to frame it in that sort of way. Maybe at the end, we could talk just briefly about those that might homeschool their kids. And that's the way I think that it might be good for us to kind of chart this or navigate this.
Great word. All right, Ron, you got the floor.
Yeah, all my kids go to public school, and it really is a very interesting world. You know, I live in Illinois, so Illinois is probably one of the most progressive schools as it goes to, indoctrinating children around LGBTQ history and ideology. And I think the best we can do is to make sure that the school system isn't the place in which my children are primarily learning about what it means to be human, what it means to be a sexual person. But, you know, this stuff is just weird. And so one of the things I do is I really encourage my kids to share their values and beliefs respectfully, but to not be timid or feel like they have to be quiet because of the ways that they hold values, because I think they're going to have to learn how to do that to survive in the world that we now find ourselves in.
Yeah, what I hear, Ron, is that the responsibility for you and for Amy are brought into the home as the focal point of discipleship, of understanding human sexuality, because you can't expect the public school to have your values and worldview and doctrine and beliefs.
Exactly. And I have to help my kids see what they are hearing as normal and regular, and really help them see that in light of our Christian worldview and how our Christian worldview actually sees it quite differently.
Yeah. Derek.
So, Ron, one of the questions that I have for you is two things. So one is, I've got certain friends that send their kids to Christian schools, and one of the things, or to public schools, one of the things they encourage their kids to do is to just not speak up about these sorts of things. They're like, listen, tell me everything that you learn. We're going to disciple you. We're going to talk to you about what the Bible teaches, but just don't speak up, because your teachers, I don't know, just know more than you do at this point. And it's not wise to try to engage your teachers in debate or deliberation about this sort of thing at this point. Is that reasonable, because I actually like the approach that you're taking, like,
me, hey, too.
Respectfully speak up and own what it is that the Bible says on this. Don't be silent. I mean, what's the right approach?
You know, I think you obviously need to be respectful, and you know, when you're learning curriculum, you have to take tests and you ought to give the answers they want. But in discussions and around, you know, these realities, that's what school is for. School, you know, we're not teaching indoctrination programs. We are learning how to think. And I want my kids to think, and I want them to learn it from an early age. And I don't want them to be embarrassed about it. And I want them to embrace this idea of, you know, standing alone or standing with a few and being proud of it. And I tell my kids all the time, you know, you can be a lemming or you can be a thinker. And, you know, be proud of it, be bold about it. And, you know, don't be mean, be respectful of other people. But you can speak what your opinion is and what you think is true, and you ought to.
Yeah. Now it comes into a different perspective, Derek, with a Christian school. And can I just assume that you and your wife are going to send your kids to the Christian school? Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, we're still in discussion about all of that. I mean, in terms of what to expect, but that's sort of what we have anticipated.
But let's talk, and all three of us can chime in here. What are the boundaries for Christian school in terms of what should we expect? It's different than the public school that Ron just clearly stated.
Yeah, well, I think there are a couple things that are at play here. One is, I think that what Ron is doing is really important for parents of students that go to public schools or Christian schools. Amen. I think that parents that send their kids to the Christian school and then think that they don't still have the responsibility to disciple them and to catechize them and to train them and to encourage them to speak up and respectfully disagree, I think that those parents are missing something, because you cannot give to the Christian school what is your responsibility as a parent. You cannot assume that your discipleship responsibilities are fulfilled because you're paying the Christian school tuition and sending your kids to a Christian school. And just as a kid who grew up in the Christian school system, I went to Milwaukee Christian School. It was a wonderful experience. Went to Milwaukee Lutheran High School. Wonderful experience. Went to Wheaton College. Wonderful experience. In all of those places, there were a number of individuals who had been sent there or made to go there by their parents who had no clear Christian commitment, and it seemed as though their parents assumed, oh, going to the Christian school will make them Christian, and I don't have the responsibility of, you know, home worship or home discipleship. And I think that it is a grave error for parents to send their kids to a Christian school and then not be active in discipling and training them. That's the first thing that I think is important to say. Have you guys seen that, or do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I think there's a wider, when it comes to a Christian school, you're hoping that what you disciple at home matches that of what the Christian school believes. That's where it gets a little murky in our day today, because in the past, it usually was a direct match, but it seems more and more prevalent that a Christian school or a private school suddenly may not match what the home front values biblically in terms of human sexuality. That's why I think you have to be on your guard as a parent who sends their kids to a private or a Christian school, because you can have faculty members, as we won't name names, but we have faculty members of grade schools, high schools, colleges, and Christian schools that are, quite honestly, contrary to what we believe in the Reformed understanding of the worldview.
Yeah, and I think it's really important that parents and, you know, teachers who love the Lord, that, you know, public schools have been completely secularized, and Christian schools are in danger of that. And there's going to be a lot of pressure over the next few years to move at least to, you know, make it much more cloudy about statements around sexuality, statements about, you know, the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And parents need to demand that the schools are clear and that they uphold their biblical values. And because the parents hold authority there in a way that is very different than in the public setting, and they should demand it. And they need to be careful, because, you know, if they're not following what's going on, there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah, and I agree too. I think that that is a fundamental responsibility of any Christian school parent. If you're sending your kids to a Christian school, you need to require that that school is clear and biblical on a whole host of contestable matters.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot send your kid to a Christian school that's not totally clear about what it is that the scripture says about marriage. You can't just let a school off the hook and be like, well, it's a more culturally traditional place. Like, you need to demand that what the Christian school teaches is in accordance with God's word. Otherwise, I don't know what the purpose is of sending your kids to such a school.
Exactly. Such a thing can't stand. Why does it exist?
If a Christian school is not teaching a Christian worldview, and here's one of the challenges, is that as we talk about human sexuality in particular, it's not as though this touches on just a couple of verses. This gets at an understanding of creation, how God made us to be male and female, and how he designed marriage and creation. It gets at an understanding of fall in terms of what is sinful behavior and what is not sinful behavior. It gets at redemption because the gospel is likened to a marriage. We're told in Ephesians 5 that a husband needs to love his wife like Christ loves the church and laid himself down for her, that the wife needs to respect her husband and submit to him like the church submits to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the gospel message is likened to a marriage. And then at the new creation, at the consummation, the new Jerusalem is prepared as a bride who's coming down for her, beautifully prepared for her husband. So it's not like you can have a lack of clarity around sexuality issues and not impact the whole scope of Scripture. You can't cultivate a Christian worldview or a Reformed worldview unless you're doing that with human sexuality, as well as a wide variety of different topics. But human sexuality is that thing which has become the sacred cow in our culture. And if you're not clear about it, then you're seeding ground to the culture to sort of disciple what it is that your child believes on this. Yeah. And that's fundamentally inappropriate for any Christian institution.
The most dangerous Christian school, I'm just going to come out and say it, is a wishy-washy statement on human sexuality. Because basically, that's mainline Christianity. It's basically saying, oh, you know, people have diverse ideas of human sexuality, and we just, we want everyone to love each other. And no, I think what the Christian school needs is specifics. This is what marriage is, man and woman from creation. This is what is sin. All of us are broken, sinful people. Fornication, sex before out of the bond of marriage is sin. Same-sex activity is sin. You know, and get as clear as you can, because those are boundaries allowable in the Word of God, but also in a school that calls itself Christian or an institution as well. Let's move to more of a concluding moment here. Let's all just kind of share what we think about public or private schools and home discipleship. Because I know you mentioned, Derek, about homeschooling, but let's just kind of all take a concluding thought. Who'd like to start?
I can start. So one thing that I think is good to say is that there are a number of ordinary Christians that homeschool their children, and that's a wonderful Christian option for individuals. And for those that shoulder that burden, I think that you're worthy of respect. Sometimes I've been in circles that will kind of demean those who home educate their children. That's not really acceptable for Christians. I think that we need to respect those who home educate. I think that it's also worthy of saying, I know a whole host of Christian educators who are operating in a wide variety of contexts, and these people need the prayer and support of the church and of ordinary Christians, because it's some important frontline, good, godly discipling work when a school is clearly teaching the Bible and is teaching in such a way that there is a Reformed Christian, I mean, I'm Reformed, so especially a Reformed Christian worldview that's being taught within every subject about how creation and therefore biology and math and the natural sciences and social studies, how it all gives glory to God because it demonstrates how good our creation is. When a school is putting together a curriculum that teaches the goodness of creation as maleness and femaleness and the goodness of marriage as God designed and is a part of teaching that, you know, this is really good, important, godly work. And so I want to say how thankful I am for Christian school teachers and institutions that are doing that important work. And man, we're so thankful for you. And it's important that ordinary Christians pray for and encourage such teachers, because that's God-glorifying work.
Amen.
I want to speak to parents whose kids are in public schools. And I think that for kids who are in public schools, there's an opportunity to refine and to exert your Christian faith and to become the kinds of people in whom can really thrive in this secular culture. And that means that you're going to have to be willing to say things that in ways that are respectful, that people are going to disagree with. I can see in the future that there might be things that are punishable because of the opinion that one holds. And I think that's great for my kids. I tell my kids, I'd be so proud of them if they, in a respectful way, got in trouble for standing for what the Bible says is right and true. And so, you know, we need to teach our kids to think for themselves, mm-hmm. to not be lemmings, and to be willing to, you know, rub some people the wrong way. I just think it's a great opportunity to be the light of Jesus and also to prepare our kids for the world, because it doesn't get easier. It gets harder.
No.
And to whatever degree elementary and high school is going to change, college has already changed. And there's very few Christian colleges in which the light of Christ is shining clearly anymore.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, I'll wrap up with this because I've been in all three of you. I mean, you two's seats already. I was a parent with children not in school, and I sent my kids to Christian school. I see the public school as well, and myself as now post out. My kids are all married out of the house. I first of all would say to you that to you guys, both of you, talk at home about your human sexuality with your children. I did some, but I look back on my life now and wish I would have talked more about God's understanding of human sexuality in the home front. So I would challenge public, private school parents to talk about it at home. I regret a little bit. I mean, I talked a lot, and we did a lot of discipleship at home, but I talked a little bit about human sexuality when they were teenagers, but probably should have done more. And I trusted in the Lord's hands. My children profess their faith in Christ, and they have a very strong understanding, but I think I would have done more. And that's a challenge, and I'd wrap up for all parents, public, private, disciple your children about human sexuality from God's word, from what we understand the biblical principles and values to be from creation to revelation, as Derek clearly stated. Well, that wraps up this edition of Ordinary Christians. God bless.